You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with the father's difference.
See, some y'all understand, fathers will just say stuff. Just say it. No sandwich. No little bread on the outside, no bread on the inside, softly in between, prepared. Fathers just say it. That's why some of y'all got a problem with me. Because you wasn't used to a father. And I just say it. And people will even, people put on Facebook and they'll say stuff, nice stuff. Pastor Marcy, she's so, I love my pastor. Pastor Marcy, she's so sweet, she kind. She just gives you, she just love on you and always know what to say. And then they just leave it. And I tell Pastor Marcy, you saw that? You see that? I said, I don't care. Because fathers communicate differently. Fathers, and so watch this here. A major study showed that when speaking to children, mothers and fathers, they talk differently. Mothers tend to simplify their words and speak on a child's level, while fathers are not so inclined to modify their language for the child. When the children are infants, you don't see a man holding big, you Gucci Wucci. Yeah, tell my little Gucci Gucci. Men don't do that. That's how women talk to children. We communicate differently. And so, but though there's some words, brothers, that do need to be modified. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? The mother's way facilitates immediate communication, while the father's way, here's what fathers have in mind when we communicate, to challenge the child to expand the vocabulary and language skills, which is going to be important building blocks for academic success. There's sometimes, you can't wear your feelings on your shoulders all the time. Folks are just going to say stuff. That's how life is, y'all. Amen. So some of you have problems on your job because you never had a father to just tell you and just say this is it. Just do this. Everything's requested. Everything is, you know, begged of you and all that. And there's certain things that you learn just through a father's communication. Number five. This one's not going to surprise. Number five. Fathers discipline differently. And I'm sure this one is no surprise of. And please understand, every time I talk about discipline, I'm not talking about. Y'all remember this father? Steve Harvey said he's the best father on television ever. I think his name was James Evans. Okay, James didn't play. He commanded his children. Okay, even though JJ looked like he was about 30 on there. Jimmy Walker, he must be 100 now, right? He commanded his children. And I'm sure this one is no surprise to you. But fathers, when we tend to stress justice, fairness, duty, responsibility, and the American way. Mothers stress sympathy, care, and help based upon relationships. So to this day, I don't remember the details. But my son, Tyler, the one you saw who's the attorney, he said, he talks about how he was grounded on his birthday. He still talks about this. I don't know which birthday it was, but he was grounded on his birthday. Obviously, he did something earlier that week that he should have been thinking, I don't want to mess up this week because this is my birthday this weekend, and I don't want to be grounded on his birthday. Now, I didn't care that it was his birthday. What I cared about was that there's a responsibility you had to do such and such, obey me or not, and that there are consequences. Now, mothers want to renegotiate. Mothers say, well, now let's not make him stay home. Let's make him stay home next week. It's just a difference. So fathers tend to observe and enforce rules, consistency, systematically and sternly, watch this, which teaches children that there are definite consequences to right and wrong. Because when you go to jail, they ain't letting you out on your birthday. Amen. And if they get ready to arrest you, they don't care that you're supposed to go to the prom tomorrow night. There are definite consequences to our actions. And that's one of the things that fathers are really designed to teach, that there is stimuli and that there's responses. If you do this, this is going to happen. 2 Thessalonians, watch this. It's a father who writes in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, Paul as a spiritual father, saying, "For even when we were with you, I commanded you, command, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now, y'all know a mother did not write that scripture. If any would not work, neither should he eat. Y'all remember the movie. Y'all remember, any of y'all old enough remember Jungle Fever? Remember Ruby Dee was the mama. Dad was the, what's he called, the good doctor? The good doctor, Reverend Doctor. And Dr. Reverend wasn't playing with him. "Get that boy out of here, that heathen." And boy, he had more scriptures than I had. Y'all know you got to have a lot of scriptures to have more scriptures than I did. And she was always, and she said, "Don't give him no money." And she was always giving him some, a little bit of money. That's the difference between mothers and fathers. Mothers tend toward grace and sympathy and providing a sense of hopelessness, which you need. Again, but to be well-balanced individual, we need both. We need both. And to help fathers even be more balanced and not be overly harsh in their communication discipline, Paul writes Ephesians 6 and 4, where he says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." New Living Translation, that verse says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them." He's talking about going overboard, being too harsh. The Message Translation says it this way: "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down too hard." There's a time we can just come down too hard. Don't come down too hard on them. "Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master." And yet the Bible also teaches that in order for us to really have the right relationship and reverence towards God and respect towards God and honor towards God that we should have, it first starts, watch this, with our natural fathers. So you got to really understand this. If you didn't have a good relationship with your natural father, it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve to understand you're a good father. That's who you are. See, because some of us, if you had a good father, that immediately resonates with you. And some of you, you say, "Well, if you're new in your walk with God and you don't have a real experience with God, it's going to take it's going to be a learning curve for you to really know what a good father is." Are y'all understanding me? And so Paul says this, or the writer of Hebrews, some say it was Apollos, says this in Hebrews 12 and 9. And he says almost as a passing point. He said, "We have had fathers of our flesh, natural fathers, which corrected us or disciplined us, and we gave them reverence or respect. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father's Spirit?" So Paul says, just like you listen to your natural father, all the more so you ought to reverence your spiritual father. So now we got a gap in how we reverence our spiritual father or even God, because we didn't first experience that with the natural father. That's why some people have a problem having a pastor. You'd be surprised how many people say to me, men have said to me, "Well, you know, I ain't never talked to another man about my issues." Where should that have first happened? Come on, talk to me, y'all. With a father. In terms of legal matters and business matters and all that, my son Tyler is more educated than all of us. He has a business degree and a law degree. And yet, he calls me, if not every day, every other day, getting my counsel about something. Sometimes about business, sometimes he wants to get my perspective, sometimes on a case. And he never mentions any to some of y'all who he represents. Y'all come to him, "I know you know my son, your son." He don't talk to me, he don't tell me nothing about anybody's cases, you know, that's part of the confidentiality with an attorney. But he'll speak to me generally about situations, because he's gotten used to doing that by getting counsel. And so some of you, it's a hard time receiving a father, receiving instruction, or receiving counsel because you never had it. That's one of the things you get from a father. And when we learn respect our natural fathers, then we have no problem embracing a spiritual father and even God as our father. Number six, Lord, help me to hold out till my change comes. My way may not be easy. You did not say it would be. When it gets dark, can't see my way. You told me to put my trust in thee. That's why I'm asking you, Lord, me to hold out. Fathers, prepare children for the real world. Number six, because you got to know your parents love you. Stand behind you, come what may. You got to know that you're ready. When you finally hear them say, it's a different world from where you come from. Yes, it is, ma'am. It's a different world from where you come from. That's mainly what fathers do. Mothers want you to know, I'm here for you. Mothers want you to know, you can always come home. Mothers want you to know, you can cry on my shoulder. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to rock you. Fathers want you to know, I ain't going to always be here. Fathers want you to know, there's going to come a time that you're going to have to do this by yourself. Are y'all hearing me? Mothers are focused on you feeling good in the present. Fathers are focused on you doing well in the future. And so that we need both. We need both. Involved fathers help children to see that attitudes and behaviors have real consequences. For example, it's fathers who are more likely than mothers to tell their children, if you spend all your money, don't ask me for a dime. Fathers more likely to say that. It's fathers who say stuff like, make sure you pay me back my money when you said you would. Right. Mothers will let you forget because they never want to loan you anything anyway because you just, you know you need the money. You can have all the money. Dad's like, no. You ain't going to be able to always run to me. You got to be able to take care of yourself. You got to be self-sufficient. Come on, that. That's just differences. So fathers teach you stuff like, if you quit now, you're going to be quitting all your life. Fathers, if you lie, you steal. If you steal, you kill. You're like, why are you doing all that? They help you see the chain of events. Proverbs 13:20, it's a father who is teaching his children about association. He said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's a father telling his son, you need to watch those friends you're hanging out with. The mama got all of bad friends at the house, feed them. That's the truth. The father said, listen, you don't need to be around that boy. Get the boy out of here. Oh, he's just a good kid. Come on in here. You want some chicken? Got the drug dealer up in your house feeding him. That's the difference between mothers and fathers. Fathers who said, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So fathers are helping children be prepared for the reality and harshness of the real world. And then finally, number seven, fathers give a preview of the world of men. Just a coincidence that my daughter is here and talked about, you know, me taking her out on the first date and all that, because I want to give her a preview of how a man ought to treat her. Fathers, you show your daughters what they got a right to expect from men. You show your daughters how they should be provided for. Mm-hmm. You show your daughters how they ought to be treated. You show your daughters how they ought to be spoken to. All that comes from you. And whether you're doing it directly or indirectly, you are the first example of that, good or bad. Because men and women are different. We eat differently. We dress differently. Brothers, y'all know we dress differently. Y'all can wear the rompers if you want to. Those you don't know they are, don't even worry about it. Okay, but brothers, if you want to wear rompers, just understand, we still may look at you funny. Now, I know we're the diverse church and all that. We're going to do our best to romp along with you. We'll just look at you and go on, brother. I see you. That's what we do. You want to give somebody a compliment, you want to say to say, I see you. I ain't going to say what I see, but I see you. Yeah. How about this one? You wearing that. You want to say, I can't believe you wearing that, but you just put it neutral. Like, you wearing that. Yes, yeah, you wearing that. But men, we dress differently. We cope with life differently. We react differently. We respond differently. And girls and boys who grow up with the input, with the example of a father in addition to the mother, are more familiar and secure with the curious and distinctive world of men and manhood. Girls with involved married fathers are more likely to have healthier relationships with the opposite sex because they learn from the example of their fathers how proper men act towards women. We knew somebody one time who, and my wife was trying to help her, she was all enamored with this man. She said, because he sent me flowers. Really? That's nice. It got to be more than flowers. That's really nice. That may be a step to look closer. But you can't be all in or all open. Because you got some flowers, sisters. Girls learn early which behaviors are appropriate and inappropriate from both a man and towards a man. From a man and towards a man. So women, you're also giving your daughters examples of how they treat a man when a man is in your home and the father's there. Consequently, because of early familiarity with a man and with men, girls don't wonder what it's like to be hugged by strong arms and run to any man that's willing to touch you. Eyes straight ahead. This knowledge and familiarity builds emotional security versus neediness. Everybody say emotional security versus neediness. See, emotional security says, I'm really open to a relationship and I believe God's going to bring my husband to me or the right man at the right time. Neediness says, I gotta have a man. I just feel like I'm nobody with that. No, baby. God never intended for women to be on a demand side. He intended for y'all to be on the supply side. It wasn't women who was looking for a man. It was God who said, listen, this ain't good. I just use my imagination. I don't know what Adam was doing before Eve got there. But God looked at him and said, oh, this ain't good. This ain't good. I got to make a help meet for him. It is not good for man to be alone. I got to give him somebody. The Bible said, think about it. The Bible said he went looking at all the animals. He said, no, that ain't going to work. Oh, come on. Read the scriptures. It said he found not one of them that was meet or suitable for him. So he went around looking. Nah, that ain't gonna work. So I don't know what he did, but he was doing something. God said, no, this ain't good. It ain't good for me. I got to make a help meet for him. So woman was created on the supply side, watch this, to meet the deficit in a man. Oh, come on now. To supply what he needed. So God never intended for women to be on the need side. He expected y'all to be on the supply side. That's why the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good, a treasure. And when you get this treasure, now you get the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why I don't care if y'all like me or not, as long as you hear you like Pastor Marcia, because you like Pastor Marcia, now I got favor with y'all. That's just how this thing works. You find a wife, find a good thing, and you obtain favor, stuff you would not have gotten if you didn't get her. So some of you brothers, y'all need to be looking. What's wrong with y'all? And the Bible says, seek, and you what? I just can't find a good woman. Where you looking? And they ain't at the club. Move on. Told y'all, bring. Let me finish this here. I'm done. So women who grow up with the impartation of a good father should never fall into the category of the needy, desperate women that even Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 4:1. Listen to this scripture from the New Living Translation. Isaiah prophesied, and the Message translation says, that will be the day when seven women will gang up on one man, saying, we'll take care of ourselves, we'll get our own food, we'll buy our own clothes, just give us a child, make us pregnant, so we'll have something to live for. I had a niece who said one time, she was 16 or 17, she was living with us, and this wasn't working out. Okay, Chandler was just born, and she started having problems with the law. And I'm like, I'm in my early 20s. I'm like, I'm trying to do you a favor. I don't have time for all this here. And she said, well, I'm going to go back to New Jersey. I'm going to have me a baby and get on welfare. Who thinks like that? Who thinks like that? It says, that scripture there, that they'll be so desperate that they just are willing to share a man. I straight ahead, y'all, all you man sharers. I know he got a side chick. I know that, but I'm the one he really loved. Why are you sharing a man? Are you really? It's dangerous. You get stuff, you get the cooties. All this sharing stuff gives you cooties. That's the least of it. The Bible talks about the itch in the box. That's the cooties. Get the itch in the box. It's in the scriptures. That's the cooties. Hunt your neighbor and say, don't get the cooties. Don't get the cooties. Let me finish this, y'all. When especially a girl really has the impartation of a good father, watch this. Neither do they fall into the category of what the Bible calls silly women. I didn't make that up. It's in the scriptures. Silly women were taken advantage of by manipulative men, which Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy 3:6. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. And he said, the reason why they're able to take advantage of you is because you are desperate with your own lust. Now, lust can be sexual lust, but it's not. Sometimes it's the lust or the desire for self-esteem or to be needed or wanted or whatever. He said, but they take advantage of your neediness. New Living Translation calls them vulnerable women. The Amplified says, silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women. I'm telling you, if you were in this house, the house of right direction, sitting under this word, there should not be one silly, weak-natured, spiritually dwarfed man or woman in this house. Amen. Likewise, boys who grow up with the impartation of their dads, they're less likely to be violent unless they had a violent father. They have their masculinity affirmed, and they learn from their fathers how to channel their masculinity and strength in positive ways. Fathers help sons to understand proper male sexuality. And there is still such a thing as proper male sexuality. I know we got gender neutral everything now. Okay, we got gender neutral bathrooms and we got unisex clothes. The devil is alive. There's some stuff y'all wear I ain't wearing. Amen. Fathers help the children, boy, know how to wash so he won't be funky. And then you won't get the cooties. Fathers, help boys to understand age-appropriate behavior. Watch this. People are telling you stuff like, I was reading one book that was saying, don't tell boys that you don't play with this and you don't play with that. And girls said, no, I don't agree with that. We got different roles. We got different responsibilities. You don't tell a boy. No, watch this here. I'm saying, don't tell a boy he can't cry. Okay? You can't tell him you can be crying all the time. And you can't cry in front of everybody. Amen. Y'all know women can get away with crying like a man can. And y'all let us cry about spiritual stuff, about God and everything. But let that man, your husband, start crying about those bills. I'm a wild on bills. I'm going to pay these bills. And I just, you want me to help? What? Y'all know that ain't acceptable. I'm going to get the car payment. You ain't going to just throw your hand. Come here, baby. It's going to be all right. You're going to be, listen, you got to get yourself together.
Whether your personal relationship with your father is good or bad, you have a heavenly father who loves you unconditionally. Sometimes we allow our earthly relationship to dictate how we view God. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that the father's love is irreplaceable. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the father's difference.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.